Father, we come before you as your people this morning, and as we continue to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus, we pray that you would fill us hearts that are joyful, that you'd open your word up to us, that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would have for us as we begin this new year. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. We're glad that 2020 is over. It was a rough year. And now we begin with anticipation in a new year in 2021. You know, New Year's brings with it all kinds of traditions that are supposed to give us good luck. And I think that's something that we're really looking for this year. We're looking for a year that's better than 2020 was. Well, in the South, one of the things that they do to bring good luck is that they eat black-eyed peas, a tradition that goes back into the Civil War. In Spain, they have another tradition. So they quickly gobble down 12 grapes, one grape per second, to count down the last 12 seconds of the year. And it's a tradition that began back in the 1800s, believing that that brings them good luck. So in Denmark, when it gets close to midnight, they literally stand on top of a chair and then jump down from the chair, literally leaping into the new year. And in Ecuador, and perhaps this is a tradition that maybe we wanted to take up this year, they take a scarecrow that represents all the negativity and the bad things of the last year, and they begin burning it up at midnight. And they believe that it creates positive energy that brings good luck for the coming year. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if one of these traditions actually worked? That it was just foolproof, that we could be sure that, you know, we would have a great year because we practiced that. And unfortunately, there is no way to guarantee having a good year. But that doesn't mean that we can't take steps to have a better year than we did last year. New Year's presents us with an opportunity to reassess our priorities. You know, our actions, the things that we do in life, are not neutral. They really do matter. And so how we live our lives is important. The way we spend our time and our energies reflect what is most important to us. Now, if you're like me, I'm sure you can see things in your life that you need to change. And some of us this year will be making resolutions. Resolutions that you hope will bring change into your life. In fact, according to the Scranton Journal of Clinical Psychology, 45% of Americans will be setting up New Year's resolutions. And here are the top resolutions that have been made by people in 2021, according to a poll of 1,000 adults from offers.com. So 7% want to meet somebody special. 7% want to get a new job. 9% want to make new friends. 17% want to travel more. 23% want to save more and get out of debt. And the largest one, which is no surprise at all, 26% says they want to exercise and lose weight. Sound familiar? Well, unfortunately, most of us, if we set these New Year's resolution up, will be falling short in those. In fact, 92% of people failed to live up to the New Year's resolutions that they set. And 25% of them, in fact, during the first week of the new year. So as hard as we may try, we simply don't have the willpower to just change our lives. And so if it's not a resolution that's going to change our lives, then what is it that will help us so that our lives can truly be transformed? Well, 2,000 years ago, wise men followed a star in the sky. So they saw this brightly colored star in the sky, and it led them westward to Israel in search of a newborn king. And that bright light headed them to the baby Jesus who would change their lives forever. You know, as we start the new year, we need to have a fresh confrontation with that same Jesus, an encounter that will shake up our lives. Only a fresh encounter with God's only Son will give us new priorities for our lives in the same way that it did for those wise men. So who were these wise men that came to see the baby Jesus? Well, in the original text, they're not actually called wise men, but they're called magi. And at the time of Jesus, magi referred to, they were learned men and priests who specialized in astrology, the study of the connection between the planets and the stars. And in some cases, they engaged in magical arts and they interpreted dreams. And that's why they're interested in this new star that they saw in the sky, and that they saw twinkling. God didn't permit Jews to partake in astrology or black magic or divination. And for this reason, we know something about the wise men, that they were men who lived in spiritual darkness. But God was drawing these people to himself through the birth of his son, Jesus. The coming of the wise men to the baby Jesus foreshadowed a time that was predicted in the Old Testament, when Gentile nations would come to worship the Lord. Here's what the prophet Isaiah wrote, and this is Isaiah 60. He wrote, "And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Your gates shall be open continually, day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession." What the wise men saw that night must have been truly special, something so extraordinary that they were willing to make a long and dangerous journey to find it. Magi were found all over the Roman world, but they were especially associated with Babylon. And that's what's probably meant here when it says that wise men from the east. If it's true, they would have traveled some 900 miles via camel from Babylon to Jerusalem. And a camel can travel about 25 miles in a day. And that means the journey would have taken them around 36 days. Now, to do so, they would have put aside all of their responsibilities, their jobs, and their families and friends. All of those things they would have put aside to find the meaning of that great sight. It was that important to the wise men. And the question for us to ponder is this: how has the coming of Jesus changed our priorities? How does the coming of Jesus affect the way that we live? Well, it turned out that the star rested over the very place where the child was. Matthew says when they saw it, they were filled with great joy. But why? What is it that filled them with joy? The star had not led them to some grand palace, but to a humble dwelling of a peasant family. There was no riches, there was no opulence in the setting, nothing to indicate the presence of royalty. And yet upon sight of this baby, they saw something so worthwhile that they worshiped him. In the baby Jesus, all the glory of God was hidden. Even though the star twinkled in the night sky for all to see, most people didn't take notice of it. They couldn't see the significant event that had taken place steps from where they lived. They just simply lived as they always have, with the same worries and concerns. But these foreigners from a far off land, living in spiritual darkness, were able to see what they couldn't see. They're falling down before this child symbolized their lowliness and their acknowledgement that one greater than they lay before them. They had found the hidden treasure, They'd found the pearl of great value. Today, those of us who embrace Jesus stand as the descendants of these wise men. Based on what we see with our eyes, there doesn't appear to be a lot of evidence for the kingdom of God inaugurated by this child 2,000 years ago. And yet the Spirit of God testifies to the truth of this in our hearts so that we can't live the same way anymore. Our priorities must change when we have an encounter with Jesus. For the wise men, it wasn't merely enough to prostrate themselves before this baby, but they opened up their treasure and they presented them as gifts to him. We're told they brought frankincense, myrrh, and gold, each an expensive luxury item befitting the dignity of a king. The most valuable things they owned, they presented to this newborn king. So let me ask you, how will the reality of the truth of Jesus alter your priorities in the new year? What areas of your life have you not opened up to King Jesus? The wise men put aside everything to see this child. What inhibits you from making Jesus the same priority in your life? Now let's contrast the reaction of these wise men to that of King Herod. So here we have these wise men who are Gentiles, who've lived in ignorance of the living God. And they've arrived in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, asking about the king that had been born. And they naturally went to King Herod, believing that it was within his household that this king had been born. But he had no idea what they were talking about. Anxiety rather filled his heart. This was not good news for him. This child represented a threat to his throne. He had to protect his position. And that's why he would later issue an order to kill every boy in Bethlehem who was 2 years old and younger. And for many of us, Jesus represents a threat as well. A threat to our ability to control and have power over our lives. You know, we don't mind going to church. We don't mind giving to different ministries. We don't mind volunteering our time, as long as it's on our terms. But there are certain areas of our lives that we keep off limits. These are mine for me to control. You know, and I have to make a confession here. You know, I'm a bit of a control freak by nature. You know, for years, my career was completely off limits to God. I knew what was best for me. I knew how to succeed and how to make a living. And I didn't want anyone, even God, to tell me what to do. You know, other people want to have control of their other parts of their lives. You know, their spouse or their children or their activities or their time or something else altogether. But they need to have control of something. Jesus can't be established as the priority in our lives if we siphon off an area of our lives and say, "You can't reign here, Jesus. This is mine." Have you ever thought about this before? That sin is simply about having wrong priorities. It's using our time and our resources in unhealthy ways that stand in opposition to the ways of God. Well, maybe it's not control that you have a problem with, but maybe it's something like attempting to find affirmation and approval from the people around you. The movie Foxcatcher describes the true story relationship between John DuPont and Mark Schultz, who was an Olympic wrestling champion. So DuPont was an incredibly unaffirmed man who desperately sought the admiration of other people. And so to demonstrate his value, he hired a film crew to produce videos about his life. So actors read scripts that he had personally written himself, containing the words others supposedly said about him. And they were glowing praises about his accomplishments and all the things that, well, that the ways in which he seemed important to them. And DuPont would watch these videos over and over again. Now, to us, this seems absolutely ridiculous. But really, is it any different from the ways that we can become slaves to the praise or criticisms of other people? We want others to like us, and the fear of losing that approval can paralyze us so much that we often seek the praise of others rather than the praise of God. Imagine if the wise men had decided not to go on their long journey because their friends and family just thought it was just too silly to do such a thing. You know, God speaks to us all the time, challenging us to do things or to speak to others, but the fear of looking silly or strange can cause us to ignore the very promptings of the Holy Spirit. For some of us, it's not control or the affirmation of others that inhibits us from prioritizing Jesus in our lives, but it's our desire to create perfect security in our lives in the here and now. You know, and we can do some pretty stupid things in an attempt to create security. So in the 1996 movie Fargo, a man had his wife kidnapped so that her rich father could pay $1 million ransom. He believed that the money would give him and his family a worry-free life. And many of us put a lot of energy into creating a serene life, cut off from the dangers that are out there. We hoard money. We surround ourselves with beautiful things. We try to create a peaceful enclave shut off from the rest of the world. And then when life isn't peaceful, we wonder why we feel so much anxiety. We haven't learned that peace comes not from making our external world right, but it comes from what is going on in here. Making Jesus of our priority means giving up our attempts to create a perfectly secure world around us and letting the peace of God reign in our lives. 2021 gives us a chance to reprioritize our lives. The light of Jesus is shining. Nothing is hidden from him. And even though we try to keep things from him, his light is too bright. He can see everything. But here's the truth. The more that we follow his light, the better our lives will be. So I want to give you an opportunity this morning to meet Jesus afresh, to have an encounter with him that is real and genuine, and to begin the new year right. So I just want to invite you right now to just take a few moments, just close your eyes wherever you are, and just allow the Lord to touch your spirit, to come into your heart, and to give you a realization of who he is and what he's done for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just invite you into our hearts right now, Lord. Lord, we need a fresh encounter of who you are. We want to see what those wise men saw when they saw the baby Jesus in Bethlehem. Lord, reveal those things in our lives that inhibit us from prioritizing you. Whether it's control, whether it's our enslavement to the affirmation or criticism of others, whether it's our attempt to just secure a perfect life, or whatever it is, Lord, just reveal those things that act as an inhibitor to our receiving you. And now as the Lord leads you, Lord, we give up those things. We just confess those things to you right now. We pray that you'd break the power of them in our lives. We pray that whatever prevents us from seeing the light that is right before us, Lord, would be broken. The darkness would be turned over to light. And that the magnificent glory of Jesus would shine through. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are Lord, that you are King, that you are the reason we exist, that you are the one who gives us purpose. We need more of you in our lives. May you be our first priority in this new year. And we pray this in your name. Amen.